This is Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Here are your hosts, Dr. Tim Slecker and Dr. Johnny Lupinacci, educated educators talking education.
There it is, Tuesday Night Live, Minocqua Brewing Company, Taproom, Madison, Wisconsin. Educated educators talking education, Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk, packed house. Here we are on location.
Unbelievable, Tim. I mean, first of all, it's great to be live with all these great people and all these educators and, you know, progressives here showing their support to support education and democracy. And we're here with a special guest. I mean, we got a slew of special guests.
Absolutely special guest. Kirk Bankstead, owner, entrepreneur, public education advocate extraordinaire. Kirk, what's happening, our friend?
Captain Kirk in the house.
Thanks, guys. I really appreciate that you guys are here. I appreciate all the folks that came out tonight. We have a slew of educators that are here who would love to talk on your show because you guys are reaching so much of the state of Wisconsin. What I like to call here is this is a Wisconsin idea, beer style, which is all about getting what needs to be said out to the rest of the state, which I'm so happy that you guys in civic media are doing.
Kirk, I love it. And think, you know, what a great place to come, though, and truly have the ability to talk about the things that we're about to talk about. And this is going to be, you know, it's live tonight, but a monthly event coming to the Minocqua Brewing Tap House in Madison. Education, talking about it, public schools, the foundation of democracy, the reality here. And again, where does democracy happen? It happens in a tap room, over a couple beers, over some coffee, over some choice wine, over some you name it.
So the Boston Tea Party happened at the Green Dragon Tavern.
There we go.
Hemingway got to know Picasso at the Closerie des Lilas in the French Quarter in Paris, and D'Annunzio met with Tosti. And they both wrote beautiful poetry together at the bars in the Abruzzo region. And so it all starts with a place. And I'm hoping we can make that place and get the good word out to the rest of Wisconsin about education.
Well, and this is the place to say we are on location live, Minocqua Brewing Tap Room in the Madison area. Oh, yeah, come out. Check it out right now. Come out and drink some beer. Again, Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk, educated educators talking education. We will be doing this monthly from the Minocqua Brewing Tap House. Kirk, though, so, you know, this partnership, we love the idea. You know, we kind of cross paths on Facebook. You know, we're putting out there, hey, we've got this public education show 5 days a week, fully, devoted to public schools. You kind of hit me up on Facebook. I came back and said, hey, you know, how can we work together? And the reality is here now, what, a month and a half later, we're doing it.
Yeah.
We're working together.
Yeah. So, you know, I have a special place in my heart for public education. My super PAC has been going for about 3 years now. And as I told you earlier, we raised the money and we helped to get Tony Evers elected, which was the first step to make sure that the state of Wisconsin, you know, could defend itself against another attack from Trump and the MAGA movement. The second thing we did was to help get Justice Janet Protasiewicz elected, which will make sure, which will ensure, not only ensure that Trump can't try to pull another fast one in 2024, but it ensured that we will end gerrymandering in Wisconsin, which has happened, and it also ensure that women will get the reproductive rights back in Wisconsin. That's bound to happen soon. But the thing that I cared about, and the thing that I knew that I could potentially do was to try to help public education get back to where it used to be when I was a kid in the 80s, where it was some of the public education was one of the best in the country in Wisconsin, and it's fallen very far, and that's why I tried to, you know, I tried to start something, you know, try to fund with my friend who you have as your guest, Dr. Julie Underwood, to try to do something about it and try to get rid of voucher schools in Wisconsin.
Well, and Kirk, Johnny and I, we're doing this, and we talk about it, you know, there's been a relentless attack on public education. It's 40 years now, the reality, and so it is time to fight back. I think it is way past time, but thank you for stepping in and hearing that call, because, Johnny, we talk about it all the time. It's like public education and democracy and freedom. You can't have freedom and democracy without public education. And recognizing the connection there is essential. And again, to the partnership with Civic Media, bringing forward the idea that democracy, if you're like, you have a show about schools and schooling. No. We have a show about democracy.
Yeah, and that important inseparable relationship between, you know, public education and where we learn our core democratic values. So you brought up freedom. You know, liberty is a core democratic value. Well, that term gets hijacked all the time, right, by political interests that want to just separate it from other core democratic values like equality, mm-hmm. right, justice, right, all the other ones, truth, trust, these important core democratic values. Where do we learn those? In our public schools. So it's no coincidence that we've defunded public schools to the point where they're struggling and we can't strengthen democracy. So, Kirk, what you're doing with all the good people in the state of Wisconsin are doing to organize and to stand up for public schools, they're saying we need strong places where we can learn to be democratic citizens, where we can have a strong democracy. So all these defenders of democracy here tonight, it's great to be with you all. And you're out there listening. Thanks for being a listener. And come through and support Minocqua Brewing Company. But also, when you're supporting Minocqua Brewing Company, you're supporting democracy and the kind of grassroots organizing and the community building that's happening here. It's really powerful, and it's great to be here.
Yeah, Kirk, I mean, this, what a great moment for you to step into this realm. And, you know, we talk about it 40 years. And again, in Wisconsin, really too, the signature attack on public schools in Milwaukee, the voucher scheme, let's call it, you know, the just beating up on innocent people, taking advantage of a situation. And we say, you know, what was going on in Milwaukee? The schools had already been defunded. They hadn't been appropriately funded to the point. And then we come in and say we've got failing schools. Vouchers are born. Choice is moving on. You know, 35 years later, vouchers have done nothing except create division, continue to move public dollars out of the public schools into private hands with no accountability, no ability to then say what is being taught. The whole idea of a public school devoted to democracy, when you fund a voucher system in running this, you're actually funding the destruction of democracy on purpose. And so this is what brought you to this fight, Kirk, right?
Yeah. So I came to this fight. I talked to Julie Underwood, and she said, Kirk, you can't raise enough to fix the funding formula because that's crazy and it's going to take years and years and years. But vouchers are against the law in the Constitution of Wisconsin, and we can do this. So we try to do a Hail Mary. We try to go straight to the Supreme Court with an original action. Unfortunately, we failed, but that doesn't mean we failed the cause. It just means that we have to start the lawsuit, probably in Madison, and then keep going. And Dr. Underwood's going to talk about what's happening going forward. But what you said was, you know, I just jumped into this last July. There's a ton of people in this room who've been doing this for 30 years. And to tell you the truth, we probably could have got that Supreme Court case if I wasn't leading the charge and Julie was the face of this, because nobody knew who that guy was. And so I could have used a little more team building and a little bit more community building in order to get that thing across the finish line.
I think the problem was you didn't sing enough for them the way you were doing earlier.
Yeah.
Because, man,
you're lucky we don't have you singing.
Talk about a voice, man. Opera singing, just dropping it, man. American Idol, watch out. Kirk Bengstad's coming for you next time, man. It's Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Educated educators talking education. Johnny, it's now educated educators, entrepreneurs talking education.
Hey, and you know what? That's the thing. It's really nice to see people who are finding a way to build community and to participate in the local economy in a way that strengthens democracy. I mean, those two things can coexist, and this is a great example of it. And that's, we say all the time, when you're supporting your public schools, you're supporting your local economy. Well, folks out there with, you know, who are, have small businesses and, you know, are participating in their local economy, that goes for you too. Like, there are ways that you can partner with your schools and with the fight to protect and defend and strengthen public education. You're strengthening democracy. It's just a wise investment. So, Kirk, we applaud you. We're grateful. And I really want to say thank you, man. Your humility here tonight, you know, admitting that this is not easy work, and there are some very experienced organizers here who know that. But you, you know, you come into the fight and you join in and you continuing to show up. It goes a long way. So appreciate you for that, my man. Defender of democracy, Kirk here.
Thank you, my friend. There's no lack of narcissism on my part. I just sold a T-shirt that says, I am Kirk Bankstead, to hide from the Forest County Sheriff when they're hunting me for my defamation. So I appreciate your gesture, but it's not right.
Well, you got to come down to the tap room here in Madison off East Washington, Minocqua Brewing Company, because it's not just a place to drink beer. I mean, there's an experience. As Johnny was saying, you feel safe. You feel welcomed. You feel like you're invited to come in and have a conversation about democracy, about the realities that we're dealing with. And on top of that, Kirk, you've got some amazing swag available. You know, you've got T-shirts, hats, coffee mugs. Tell us a little bit, though, just about, it's Minocqua Brewing, the beer has turned into a brand you were talking about. Tell us how, it's a progressive brand.
Well, I'll tell one story.
Yeah, give us one story.
Well, two stories. One, the University of Wisconsin-Madison sent me a cease and desist letter for pro-Badgers, pro-choice.
Yeah,
which I thought was very funny, because I'm definitely a Badger, whether they want to say it or not. The other one here is Unhinged Woman, which is a very funny story. I get trolled relentlessly by the right, and somebody gave me a one-star review and said, the beer is terrible, the food is terrible, which we haven't served for 3 years, and third, the owner is an unhinged woman.
Well...
So I basically took a bike ride around Lake Winona, and I ended up at Sardine, I don't know how to say it, and I had a glass of Sauvignon Blanc, and I was like, oh, my God. I called my graphic designer. I'm like, we're going to make the sexiest shirt that says Unhinged Woman. Let's make it like Foxy Brown from the 70s, and apparently it resonated with lots of people, because that's the number one selling shirt I've ever done.
So make sure that you check this out. We're here at Minocqua Brewery, the Tap House of Madison. We're with the owner, entrepreneur Kirk Bankstead. And again, check out the website minocquabrewery.com, where you can get all of this. 44 states, Johnny. We talked about the reality.
Oh, yeah.
You can get this here. I tell you what, though, Johnny. You know what, Kirk? Love it. Appreciate you, man. But we got to get to the real guests now when we're coming up.
Absolutely.
So I'm looking forward to this, because we, as you said, we've got the extraordinaire, the expert, the idea, the voucher person, the goddess. She's right there. She can't find anybody. Julie Underwood, Busted Pencils, next.
I'll share with you, and then you...
There it is. Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Educated educators talking education. We are here on location, Minocqua Brewing Company Tap House, East Washington, Madison, Wisconsin. Just finished talking to the owner, Kirk Bankstead. Again, partnership, Minocqua Brewing Company, Busted Pencils, Civic Media, making sure that democracy, public education, though, is the foundation of democracy. So therefore, supporting public education, making democracy great again. Making democracy great again. How about that? I like the idea. So Julie, though, we have our guests here, Dr. Julie Underwood. And Julie, Kirk really speaks incredibly highly of the work that you did to bring him in. On the vouchers, though, there was a lawsuit. You attempted to say, hey, voucher schools are illegal in the state of Wisconsin. Are they illegal in the state of Wisconsin still? And where is this lawsuit heading next?
Give us an update.
Well, I'll give you an update. And which one? This one? This one. In my opinion, vouchers have been illegal since they were first passed in 1990, when they were inflicted on the Milwaukee Public Schools. And they were intentionally inflicted on Milwaukee Public Schools for all sorts of reasons. But they were unconstitutional then. It's not just illegal. It's unconstitutional as part of the Wisconsin Constitution. And they were unconstitutional when they started, and then they kept adding more and more of them, kind of like ramped it up. You know, it started as a small experimental program in 1990, and with one district, mm-hmm. and now we have four different choice programs, not the choice that women talk about, but you know, voucher programs, four different voucher programs, and it's costing the state over $500 million a year. So, it's an incredibly important thing to do. And yes, it is still unconstitutional.
And
it's draining money out of the public schools.
It's still illegal. And you say over those 30 plus years, it's expanded.
Oh, God,
yes. Program. I mean, and again, we don't anymore even make the conversation about that this is about helping kids get out of struggling, failing schools. This is just now, it's a parent's right to get a voucher.
Okay,
is the way we hear this
but
now.
But let's just unpack that for a second. Because the notion that this is to get kids out of failing schools is baloney to begin with.
Right.
I'm going to use my good terms here.
Yes, please.
It's baloney. That's the technical legal term for it.
With a B.
Legal baloney.
And because one, as you mentioned, you know, the state was defunding public schools on and on and on and on and on. And then they turned around and said, well, wait a second, you're not doing your job. Well, holy moly. Like, of course they're not able to do what they did when long time ago when Kirk went to school, because they've been defunding schools over and over and over again. So that's one. Two, the notion that these programs are set up so that kids who are in public schools can leave the public schools and then go to a private school is also technically baloney, because so many of these children have never been in public schools.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not a sector switcher kind of thing. Like over 70% of the kids in the statewide program have never been in public schools. So the only thing that changes from year one to year two is who pays the bill.
Exactly. And we've heard about that too. Is the most people reaping the benefits of vouchers, in other words, using taxpayer money, they were already had their kids in private schools. They were doing their, you know, which they're allowed to do.
Sure,
and in
sure.
fact, we say we need a good, thriving private school system. People make that decision. They make that commitment. They have the money. They pay for it. But now, though, you say the vouchers, the idea that this is going to, it's going to people that were already in private schools. It's now subsidizing their private school. So you have taxpayer money that's supposed to be going to your local public school to fund the essentials for a quality
your
education.
Your local taxpayer money.
Right. You know, and it's instead, though, and we've heard some of the stories out of Florida where the unrestricted vouchers, where people in private schools are like, you know what, we're going to take our $7,000 state money. We don't need the money to pay for our private school, but boy, a new hot tub would be nice. And there there are the stories like that.
Yeah.
You know, people say, because once that money is given to the parents, it's their money to make a decision on how to spend it. Parents who've already made the commitment to put their kids in private schools, they've already paid for it. Now they're just getting, some people are getting slush fund money.
Sure.
Yeah.
But, you know, also one of the other things that they started out with was that this was going to be some competitive notion.
Mm.
You know, this is capitalism at its best. We're going to have competition between schools, and so it's going to improve all schools. That's what they told Milwaukee.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they told the Milwaukee community. This is going to improve every school in the entire area in Milwaukee. But they take the money from the public school, and then that money goes to the private school. Plus, they put all sorts of non-regulations on the private school. They don't have to abide by nearly anything.
So like my private school, if I'm cool with teaching dinosaurs and people hanging out together, worshiping the Bible, that's a great thing to use public money on.
Sure. Okay. Or, you know, you can have, you know, the yeah. treasonous school of high school or right. whatever. Well, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, and I just want to get into it because I kind of fall in the middle of this in terms of, well,
truly, you're in the middle of this.
Yeah, you are. Right, we are right stuck in the middle. Right between us.
But one of the really dangerous parts of this is it opened up a money grab. Right.
Yeah.
And so we're talking about it in terms of traditionally private and public schools. And, you know, we know like the private school choices and the public school offerings. But what this did is it created it brought in a whole different paradigm, a premise that there would be an economy, an opportunity to make money off having a school. And so you have these pop up schools, literally like McDonald's versions, like fast food versions of schools, where now we are taking something that is important to the public good, our public school system, and opening it up to this sort of free market mentality or you know, logic structure that it's going to get better if we create more competition, right? And it just hasn't delivered. It won't deliver. It doesn't work when we're talking about things like education. So the privatization, it opened up this money grab where literally in a lot of states, anybody can open a school
right.
and you can get that money. And sadly, not everybody is interested in the well-being of all children being educated well, right? And so that's part of the common good and why democracy is so important is it's witness to that value, that public education, a good education ought to be something every child in this country has, or at least because it's a state right, in your state, right? Every child should have a good education. And the solution isn't to offer competition and an opportunity for it to be marketized.
Because you can't have a democracy unless you have an educated citizenry.
Yes,
and everybody has to be educated so they can all participate.
Okay, so Julie, update. Refiling the lawsuit?
Refiling the lawsuit, as Kirk said, refiling the lawsuit. We will be filing the lawsuit just like everybody else does in a trial court and take it as far as we need to.
Dr. Julie Underwood, Busted Pencils. Check it out, though. Everybody here, questions from the audience when we get back. That's what you want to do. Find that rose beneath your feet. Pull it gently. Don't break it off. It's Busted Pencils. Fully leaded education talk. Educated educators talking education. We are live on location.
Oh, yeah,
Minocqua
we are.
Brewing Company, Tap House, Madison, Wisconsin. Sitting here, owner Kirk Bankstad, Dr. Julie Underwood, having a conversation, the voucher schools, the funding, the lawsuit that went into this. And at this point, though, too, we would typically, with the show, take callers, but we don't have to take callers because we've got
packed house
in the house here.
That's right.
So we're going to start taking some questions. We have our first question. I'm going to hand it over here to you, sir.
All right. Our first question is from Mike. Take it away, Mike.
Hello. So one of the things that feeds into the failing schools narrative is extremely biased and inaccurate standardized testing platform that only supports increased socioeconomic inequality and privilege. So is there something we need to do as a community to combat that narrative with our neighbors? Because one of the things I've noticed is when we talk about failing schools, we kind of talk about reading scores and reading gaps as opposed to actually looking at the whole child. We just try to move them to a number.
Michael, so the question, yeah, Michael, thank you so much, Milwaukee Teachers at Milwaukee Teachers Incorporated. Madison, I'm sorry. Madison, Michael. Michael had the question, though, about standardized, high-stakes standardized testing and how they're playing into the failing schools narrative. And Julie, he's right, right? I mean,
absolutely, he's right. I mean, if you think about the way standardized tests were created and how they were standardized, it does kind of fulfill the narrative of kids with privilege are going to do well because the tests are written for kids of privilege to do well, right? Doesn't tell you much past that. And we have to change that kind of, not just the narrative, but we have to change the entire industry so we can actually correctly help children learn. And, you know, we have lots of people who are educators in this room. You all know how to write tests. You know how to assess kids' learning. I mean, that's what we do. But the standardized test industry doesn't do it that way.
It doesn't do it. And Michael, you think about this too, right? It is this push for assessment. We'll use these words. And the reality is that it's a gotcha moment. And the test scores come out. And I like the way you refer to it is, my neighbor then hears the news story about test scores and how bad the test scores are. And my neighbor's thinking, well, that's a problem. And the reality here is that we understand that that's really not what's happening. So when you hear, you know, proficiency, my neighbor doesn't understand proficiency versus grade at grade level, all of this toxic way of speaking about, quote, failing. And the reality is that, you know, no. So we definitely have to do better. I would say this. So Busted Pencils, Johnny and I, we're always talking about saying we need to get to our neighbors. We know this room and we know you listening out there. We know you get it. Our neighbors. But we got to talk to them in a way, though, that we don't offend them and attack them. We have to invite them to that conversation about what do test scores mean? How can they tell us good information, and what can they tell us that we should never apply to a test score like that, Johnny?
And I'm just going to be really blunt about it because I'm sitting here and I'm looking at a sign that says drink beer and don't be racist. But but I think all of us as educators, we're educating to have the world we want our children's children to have. Mm-hmm. And that is one that we don't have to constantly respond to racism because it's gone.
Yeah.
And so this is when you can't have a strong democracy without addressing that important thing that privilege. We don't want schools to be back the way they were where they were unequal. We want them improved. And we want to take that head on and have really anti-racist education and opportunity for all of our children. We want to take seriously diversity, not just as a slogan, but as a really important lived experience that our young children are having, and we want for their children's children.
Can I say one more thing?
Yeah,
about
Julie.
This? So I want to say one more thing, as specifically in the state of Wisconsin. And this is something that is not known generally by everybody and their neighbor. You guys know it, but your neighbors don't know it, and you need to tell people this. At the same time that the state of Wisconsin raised the number for passing, right? They raised the stakes. They raised the proficiency level. The same time they did that, they cut schools' funding mm-hmm. significantly.
Yeah.
That is not just a coincidence.
No, not at all. It's Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. I see right here one of our colleagues, Joanna. Teacher Joanna, those of you who listen, Educators Amplified, Milwaukee Teachers Education Association. Joanna, what's happening, our friend?
Oh my gosh, well, I am so excited to be here with you guys at the Minocqua Tap House and seeing all these wonderful people engage in the conversation about education. You know, the spirit, the swang that I bring is Educators Amplified. We talk directly about the teacher experience, which everyone likes to talk about education, but not many people like to talk directly to teachers about their experience, or it comes through their filter. And so my partner, Hallie, and I have a show called Educators Amplified where we focus on that, and we also focus on the idea that many of us talk about what we don't want in education, or we talk about hanging on to what we currently have. And Hallie and I focus on the third way.
The third way?
I don't know if I'd call it the third way, but something different. And that's a frustration of ours, that we have our groups, like with the vouchers and charters, saying what they don't want is public education. Then we have public education supporters who are just trying to hang on to what we currently have.
Mm-hmm.
Being deep in it, I'm a 28-year educator, I would say we need to improve on what we currently have. But we use things like standardization and the metrics to continue to define. And so what Mike Jones talked about was a little bit more of that new definition. Mm-hmm. mm-hmm. that we need to build systems around to support.
John, you picked that up, man.
Well, I just want, I mean, educators amplified, let's amplify it. I mean, that's in, not only inspirational, but spot on, right? We want something radically different. And that's what's included in adequately funding public schools. It's not just repairing, you know, things. It's really thinking about how do we educate children in a way that honors the children's rights, their health and well-being, not just their test scores, mm. right? Them as whole beings, as full human beings, all of our diverse children, and their right to not only a good education, right, because that's not just measured with a number, but their well-rounded health, how they're feeling, how they're responding in the moment, the kind of care they have. So I mean, I don't think anybody here is opposed to that, but it's a good reminder because sometimes we're so used to just asking for enough to get by.
Enough to get by, and what I hear Teacher Joanna talking about too is that, and what we want to come forward is not just the same. We're not holding on to this. We want better. It's got to be public. It's not an abandoning of public, because it's like public. We understand that that's the foundation of democracy. Can the public schools that our children deserve, our teachers deserve, what would they look like under a reimagined framework? We wouldn't be using high-stakes standardized test scores to rank and sort people the way we do in this way. We need a new system to really balance that out. Well, there it is. We need to bust a pencil. Look at that. There we go. Okay.
Right.
Pencils are busting. Okay. Another question.
Another question, and I just want to address...
How are you, Claudia?
I'm going. I just want to address the standardized testing, because not only is it a horrible measure of student achievement, it is a norm reference. Mm-hmm. So it is written for, once you get above 50%, you fail and they renorm it. So you never win on that one, and yet that's a measure we're using to predict student achievement. So it's a crazy system. But more importantly, if you can, on specifics, address what has happened to the state of Wisconsin. Let's use the year 2010 and how we have, guess who was governor in 2010 and how that has financially impacted our Wisconsin public schools, and how dire is the situation?
Joel, I think that's a Julie question. Dr.
Absolutely
Underwood.
Julie question. I think that everybody heard Claudia's question, right? Right?
Yep.
And we are using 2010 because, you know, if you look at 2008, Wisconsin's doing not great, but still is in the top half, in the top, you know, and maybe in the top 25 states in the nation in terms of just use the metric funding. And then, of course, we had Act 10. What do you all feel about Act 10? There. Enough said, right? Well, not only was Act 10 intended to bust the union, but it also gutted education funding. And we took a huge tank in terms of cutting our revenue limits, which are our spending limits, for those of you who don't like to talk nerdy talk about school finance in the state of Wisconsin, our spending limits were dropped and state money came out, and we have not recovered from that hole. Since 2010, we have not recovered from that cut. And if you think about it just in terms of inflationary increases, we are right now, for public schools, I mean, now the private voucher schools are doing better because they keep getting raises, but for our public schools, we're over $3,000 per student behind inflation if we had just kept pace in that time. So if you think about running a business, if you think about, you know, any other normal kind of business, if you hadn't had an inflationary increase in all of these years, you would be out of business.
But you know what? I'm thinking about that too, though, Julie. And we've also heard how that has affected the wages of teachers over those past 14 years, that underfund or defunding. And the fact is that where teachers find themselves today with their salaries is also reflective of that cut.
Well, it's so when you haven't kept pace and you're $3,000 below, right, per student, and just, you know, do the multiplication on that one, per student. What that means is you're going to have low wages for everybody, you're going to have low benefits for everybody, and you're going to have fewer and fewer positions. And the fewer and fewer positions we're seeing, you know, particularly in support staff and special education staff, it is not a pretty picture, and it's not sustainable.
And then you throw on that, though, too. You know, so we're cutting positions, but we still also in the state of Wisconsin, and I know all across the country, there's a massive teacher shortage. I know people have seen me and listened to me for the longest time. I hate the word shortage. It's an exodus. It's an intentional routing teachers out of the profession, making them, creating the conditions and where teachers say, enough's enough. I can't do this anymore. I'm out of here. Not on top of the pay. You've got the union. You've given me more responsibilities that don't have anything to do with teaching. And now you're going to hand me a scripted curriculum and tell me that I must teach at a certain moment in time the science of this, the science of that. The problem is we keep hearing about this, is there's no science behind the science of things. It's just a new rhetoric about how we're going to sell new curriculum materials and continue the deprofessionalizing of teachers, putting them, and again, in that same spot of going, we don't want you to think, we don't want you to do what it is that you came to this passionately to do, how you came to lift children out, to be a role model for somebody, to be like that teacher was to you. No, we want you to stay on script, and we wonder why, what's happening, how are we going to ever have teachers? Well, that's what we're doing here every night. First of all, Busted Pencils, Fully Leaded Education Talk, every night of the week, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and now this partnership with Minocqua Brewing Company, making sure that we're coming to the locations to talk about public education, the foundation of democracy, and making sure that we can have conversations in spaces all over this state and then all over this country, because we need to reclaim public education for what it is. It is our key to freedom. It is the key to democracy. Busted Pencils, Fully Leaded. We got more people who want to talk to us next. Yeah, we know it's that time you hear that music. Busted Pencils, Fully Leaded Education Talk. We have one more round live from the Minocqua Brewing Company tap room. Johnny, tell us why.
Well, I mean, we're here as part of a partnership, and Busted Pencils is sponsored by the Minocqua Brewing Company, who sued the state of Wisconsin. We heard about that lawsuit, but to sue the state of Wisconsin to end its parasitic voucher system that hurts public schools. Minocqua Brewing Company is making Wisconsin great again, one beer at a time. Check it out, minocquabrewingcompany.com, to see where you can buy their progressive beer. We're here tonight having progressive beers, having great conversation. Tim, in the last segment, you talked about how important it is to talk about this. It's great to be in the present people taking action about this and amplifying all the work they're doing. It looks like we have Educator Amplified, Teacher Hallie. Teacher Hallie, what's happening?
What's up? Well, you know, it's funny because I came up to the mic before the break, and then Tim said it so eloquently. I know. I was like, oh my gosh. No. But I do want to say, first of all, just thank you for being able to speak so accurately about the teaching experience. Because as an educator myself, I just am like, that piece is missing when we talk about education. And I'll always give you credit for the teacher exodus.
Thank you.
Or coining that term. Not that it's your fault.
No,
That could have been interpreted.
I have not caused the teacher exodus. Thanks, Hallie.
But I also just want to add, someone asked about Act 10 and kind of where we're at. And obviously, we know huge financial implications. But I don't even know how to put it in words, but just how we are in dire need, and just in a space as educators that, like, we can't do what we know is best for children. Mm. Like, our profession has been completely sucked away from us. And how I just feel so fortunate that you all are speaking up and speaking out, and that Minocqua Brewing is partnering with you guys to, like, we need people to know that this is bad.
It's really, when you think about, so Teacher Hallie, Educators Amplified, she's been on, you know, again, check it out, Busted Pencils, that teacher experience and realizing what's happening out there. Julie, I mean, you hear the testimony, you say, we know this is horrible for kids. We know this is horrible for families. It's horrible for teachers, too.
It's absolutely horrible for teachers. And trying to, you know, I used to be the dean of the School of Education and trying to recruit teachers into the profession. It's easy to do, to, you know, to tell people, like, okay, this is your passion. But then there are lots of people who tell them that they shouldn't be teachers anymore. And trying to keep people in the teaching workforce is incredibly hard.
Yeah, we said, you know, if we could retain the teachers, we wouldn't have an exodus.
Yeah.
So we have another question. All right, come on, let's hear it.
There is so much on this topic that I could probably go out of line and come back in line, as Dr. Underwood, Julie knows. But one of the things I don't think anybody in this crowd understands is the discrepancy of what's happening with the voucher system in the special education students in private schools versus public schools. And by constitution, we need to be educating all of our kids. Mm-hmm. And how are we failing with the voucher program?
Well, on that, so think about it. So we're talking about the special needs students. The voucher system does not serve those students. And in fact, the intentionality of some private school institution to say, and we don't have to. In fact, we can take that voucher money, and we're not beholden to the laws to uphold the education that is mandated by IEPs that have to be delivered in public schools. And then we've even heard from some other listener out there who talked to us yesterday about the fact that, you know, the other problem is that in the public schools where there are special education, the need and the lack of special education qualified people to address the reality of what it means out there, they can't get the services they're required to get in public schools now because we don't have the support in public school. We don't have special education teachers anymore. The ability, they're spread so thin, and the ability, you know, again, we wonder why we have a teacher exodus. Johnny Lupinacci.
Yeah, I was going to come back to that teacher demoralization that exists. And so thank you to every teacher out there who is doing great work. And listener, you're out there, you're doing great work, and you're tuned in. And, you know, we just want to be here to amplify that. But in terms of this, as well as special education, is we talk all the time about how we care about children. But do we really care about all children? And our special educators are on the front lines of saying, if you cared about all children, you'd be doing more for all the children that are in our classrooms who don't get the services that they need because we simply can't provide them because there are not enough of us.
All right, another question.
Hi, my name is Carla, and I'm a special education director and an administrator. So
hey,
I know
sometimes
administrators, we're not always liked, but I am very supportive of teachers, and I am, I'm like, when you start talking, I'm like, I gotta go. It is so my passion, and it's dear to my heart that there are, I don't want to name districts, but there are districts that have private schools where principals are telling parents, you need to have your child's evaluated for special education, therefore we get more money. And when they come from the public school, don't medicate your child, which I just like cringe at the thought of this. And as a special education director, I have retired, and I'm going back and I'm working 2 days a week to help a district out. But we have no teachers, and I'm just saying, like, I would never want to say this, but I'm saying this on public radio. And then we have no teachers, and I'm looking for somebody that can bend over, smile, and somewhat like children. Mm. And this is the status, like, it is so hard to find people that will do the job. and it's not okay.
Well, and that, it, you know, you think about that. I mean, we have to. That's unacceptable. And then, again, the testimony there of a special educator in the ranks, in the trenches, an administrator, and recognizing this.
Can we say
Julie, yeah, Julie, go ahead.
I don't know how much time.
We're about 1 minute.
About 1 minute. So we need to do an entire show about special education.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Because, you know, the horrible thing about education, about special education, is that we, you know, we do it. It's morally the right thing to do, everything else. But the state actually gives less money to the public schools who have to provide special education than to the private voucher schools who don't provide special education.
And we're just digging into this finally. It's Busted Pencils, Fully Leaded Education Talk, live Minocqua Brewing Company. We are busting pencils. Come over here, grab your pencil. We're loving it. Check it out. Show tomorrow. We can't wait to do this more often. Thank you, everybody. Good night.
All right.